the Rockets. At least somebody's taking something seriously, because I don't know that the Rockets are taking basketball all that seriously right now. The
Speaking
Rockets
of effort.
Lose to the Jazz last night. I mean, this is disheartening stuff. And Rich, at this point, I am concerned for Mike D'Antoni, because it is reaching it's going to reach a boiling point at some point where some change is going to have to be made. And the problem with this team right now, from a construct standpoint, is they're not good at basketball. But in terms of fixing the problem with this roster is there are very few chips with which to go fix the roster. There's very few available solutions to go fix this roster. And when you look at the rotation, Rich, the eight guys that play the majority of the minutes for this team,
they're healthy.
And it's pretty much the same guys as last year. You swapped out Mbamute and Ariza. Right. You plug in Ennis and Gary Clark. It's not about talent.
This is not about talent. This is about effort. And I'm glad you said that about Mike D'Antoni, because nothing, you know, I can see going on with this team since he's been here makes me think that he doesn't deserve to have his job. I mean, 65 wins in Western Conference Finals and probably a spot in the finals, if not for some bad luck with injuries last year. And now we're 20-something games into the next season. And the problem is what you said, Sean. They look like a team whose coach has lost the locker room. They are, you know, heads hanging, just not playing smart basketball. Don't appear to be happy to play the game of basketball right now. And I know that sounds silly with the money these guys are getting paid and they're professionals and so on and so forth, but they just don't look like they're enjoying themselves.
Well, here, and I'm glad you said that, because The Athletic, Kelly Iko, who covers the Rockets for The Athletic, has an article on here that has some pretty damning quotes from Eric Gordon, of all people, who's been terrible this year.
I saw that. Absolutely.
Eric Gordon's been awful, and Eric Gordon said, quote, "We just make the game harder on ourselves. It's truly on us. It's definitely tough, very disappointing. It's hard to explain." Then he goes on to say, "I'm just not having fun, man. I'm just not. This sucks. Even the times where I have good games, we're just not," this is the damning part here, "we're just not using some guys the right way. Are we going to make the right sacrifices? Do we have the right attitude? Last year was the best year I've ever had being part of a team. We just never had a bad moment. If we ever had a bad game as a team, you knew the next game we would blow somebody out. It didn't matter who it was." I have no idea what's different about this year, Rich. Unless there's some sort of fat cat syndrome going on, because they're about to match their season total for losses. By the time we're unwrapping presents underneath the tree in a couple of weeks, they're going to have as many losses as they had for the whole season last year.
They look completely uninterested. And obviously we know what players are new and what players are no longer with them, but there's no way you can blame the absence of Trevor Ariza and Luke Mbamute.
This is
much less Carmelo Anthony.
On
the product we're seeing on the floor from the Rockets, it's like they're banging their head against the wall.
I hate to oversimplify it, but it's on James Harden and Chris Paul.
Oh, of course.
And to a lesser degree, Clint Capella, to get this stuff done, man.
And Eric Gordon.
And Eric Gordon. But primarily, Eric Gordon to me is a role player. He needs to play better. There's no question about that.
I feel like he's more than a role player on this team.
Okay. But I don't want to debate semantics about it. The crux of this team are your two $40 million guys. Rich, $80 million in salary is going to James Harden and Chris Paul. And Chris Paul has not been good this year. He's had a couple good games, but he has not even come close to matching half of what his price tag is this year. Harden statistically has been really good, but I don't know that just the mojo with Harden, you know, defensively.
That's a good word for it, because there's no juice in this team. Defensively, there's no intangible that you can look to and say, wow, these guys are really firing on all cylinders and playing well together. They're just not.
Defensively, Harden has not been as good as he was last year. And like I said, statistically, he's having the best scoring season of his career. But I don't know if it's just not getting guys involved. I don't know if the team just these guys who they replaced Ariza and Mbamute with, are they not as stellar defensively? Are they not as good knocking down open jumpers? They seem to like Gary Clark. They just gave him a 3-year contract. So obviously he's going to be one of these inexpensive role player guys that's going to eat up 25 or 30 minutes a night for them. But to me, it's on the star players of this team. This is on Chris Paul and James Harden. This is a league that's driven by stars, Rich. It's up to your stars to figure this thing out.
But, you know, I don't think this front office, certainly this owner and certainly this general manager, are going to allow what we're seeing on the floor to continue for the bulk of the season. That's why D'Antoni's job is something that is probably – something to keep an eye on, and also the trade deadline between now and February. But like you said, they're not in a position to do a whole lot. I mean, if the Phoenix Suns are serious about not buying out Trevor Ariza, they can't trade for Trevor Ariza. They can't trade for that contract. We've talked about this. So I don't know what's available out there to them or what they might offer up. But, you know, I just don't see – maybe it is a firing of the coach. I don't know. But there's no way this goes on for 82 games.
Well, this is the first test of the new owner, right? I mean, this is Tillman Fertitta bought the team last year, and they didn't win a championship. But I think you could attribute them not winning a championship to Chris Paul getting hurt in Game 5. I think overall, Tillman Fertitta had to look at the product last year and go, this is an amazing product that I bought. They won 65 games. They gave the Golden State Warriors, by far in this age of KD being part of the Warriors, this two-year
right.
period,
yeah.
heading into a third year now, they gave them by far the biggest challenge they had. They should have beaten the Warriors if Chris Paul had stayed healthy. So this is the first... Really two real tests for Tillman Fertitta. He's already passed one of them, which is I'll invest whatever Daryl Morey feels like needs to be invested in order to keep this team together. He gave Clint Capella a $90 million contract. He gave 33-year-old Chris Paul a max deal where he's going to be paying him $42, $45 million a year
right.
by the time this thing's over. But this is the real test. Like that's one. It's one thing just to sign a bunch of contracts and spend the money. These are decisions that are now going to affect the chemistry in the locker room, how the team is coached. And this will be, if it happens, this will be the second coach that will have gotten fired on James Harden's watch because
right.
of the effort level of the team
That's
on
right.
which Harden is the star.
And if you look at those contracts you just mentioned, Sean, I mean, and look at the way they're playing the game out there, you can't help but at least wonder if the fact that they got taken care of to such a great extent over the offseason has factored in a reduction in hunger on the part of these games, because I mean, look, part of that's human nature. I get it.
It's what happened in 2016.
Right.
That's what happened in 2015 right. and 2016 when they rolled everybody. They brought everybody back.
That's right. And if you watch this team, there's no sense of urgency. And I find that kind of ironic to use the word urgency there, because let's face it, you just mentioned the deal that Chris Paul got, a max deal at 33. There's no reasonable expectation that Chris Paul, toward the back end of that deal, is going to be on the same level that he was in the playoffs last year. Making this season, the first year of that max contract, you know, first couple of years, if you will, by far the years where you have to capitalize on what he brings to the table. The clock is ticking on Chris Paul.
That was a two-year $160 million deal is what that was.
Okay.
No, on paper it was a four-year $160 million dollar deal.
Yes.
I'm being tongue-in-cheek.
I know what you're
and
saying.
And I'm making it, I'm phrasing it another way.
I agree.
It was a two-year, in essence, it was a two-year $160 million deal where Chris Paul just happens to be getting paid for 4 years, because I don't think anybody... Before this season, I didn't have an expectation level that Chris Paul was going to be an all-star when years 3 and 4 that thing rolled around. That deal was a placeholder to keep what was a championship nucleus together
and
to make a run at it during James Harden's prime.
And we all know he was the difference maker last year. It was Chris Paul, as much as anything, that took them from a team that you expected to get to the Western Conference Finals to a team that, you know, you not only expected to get to the finals, but maybe win a championship.
Yeah.
He was the final piece that put them on that level. So at a time when they're not playing with any significant level of urgency, like I said, the big picture, especially with Chris Paul, could not be a more urgent one.
And that's why I say, Rich, that's why I put it on Harden and Paul, as opposed to more so Capella and definitely Eric Gordon, is because those are the leaders on the team, man. Mm-hmm. Like if our take last year, which it was that, wow, look how Chris Paul has transformed the leadership and the chemistry and the want to of this team. Well, when that disappears, by definition, we have to criticize Chris Paul, you know? So that's why I think that heavy is the head that wears the crown. You get paid $35, $40, $45 million a year in that league where it's a star-driven league, where all the other stars that are on the same level as those guys right now are pulling teams that are doing the job.
Yeah.
Kawhi Leonard has Toronto at the front of the... Kawhi Leonard, who we ragged on last year because of how he was handling things in San Antonio. Things seem to be going pretty well at his new place of business in Toronto. LeBron James, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, Giannis Antetokounmpo. These are the names, maybe not so much Paul from a stature point anymore on the court, but certainly Harden.
Yeah.
Those are the names that Harden has mentioned alongside. Those teams are all essentially doing their jobs, or at least feel like they're trending in the right direction. The Rockets are 14th in the West right now.
This type of stuff breeds conspiracy theories about things that may be going on that we're not aware of and so forth. Like, I won't be surprised, Sean, if someone texts us or someone calls us and suggests that both Harden and Paul are not happy with the way in which D'Antoni failed to fully embrace Carmelo Anthony.
It's a reasonable conspiracy theory at this point.
Again, there's no evidence of that, but right. Look, that field doomed from day one, despite what the head coach and the teammates and the general manager said. I don't think anyone was surprised. I mean, the level to which it failed was spectacular, and nobody expected that. But I don't think anyone was expecting Carmelo Anthony to be the player that was going to take them to the next level.
No, I expected him to be a potential, at the ceiling being a productive scorer off the bench.
But Harden and Paul really wanted him here. And the fact that he's in limbo right now, still being paid by the Rockets, on the payroll, no future with the team, I think it's at least safe to assume that's not sitting well with them.
The whole thing is so inexplicable that that's as reasonable an explanation as these guys just can't play anymore. You know, these guys just forgot how to play winning basketball.
Yeah.
They just stopped trying for no reason
and
on defense.
If they're doing this to get back at D'Antoni's lack of embracing Carmelo, that doesn't say much about these guys. And like you said, if this happens for a second time on Harden's watch, he's the franchise player, those are some damning situations.
It's a bad look.
It is.
It's a bad look. What do we think about the look of Kendall Briles signing a 3-year contract for $2.1 million? By the way, another franchise that's functionally owned by Tillman Fertitta, the U of H, athletic department.
His salary went from $400,000 a year to $700,000 a year with the new deal. Kendall
3 years, $2.1 million. The buyout as of right now, and it's crazy to think we have to talk about the buyout when the ink is probably still wet on the contract. But the buyout would be about half the value of the contract. Why is this relevant? Because according to reports, Kendall Briles is interviewing for the Tennessee offensive coordinator position.
There's also a report that he's a candidate for the OC job at Florida State.
Yeah,
as well.
I saw that too. Yep.
So, look, I mean, obviously the optics are unusual, and I'd hate to see this happen to Tillman Fertitta and Major Applewhite, but guess what? They know their business.
Well, they'd get a quick million-dollar pop out of it.
That's fine.
Not so sure there aren't people over in the building over there who are in charge of budgets who are like,
right, but
I hope he gets hired. We get $1 million.
But you know, after the job this guy did, they prefer he work out the contract.
The football people do.
Right.
I'm saying there's bean counters over there that'll probably feel like, are you kidding me? We're going to get $1 million windfall if this guy goes and signs on somewhere else? Hey, let's go see what other resumes are out there from guys who play a fun and gun style offense and see if we get them in here for about a third of the price.
Yeah.
And we'll take the $1 million from Kendall Briles. Ain't paying that. It's
right.
Whoever hires him.
I was just going to say, typically these buyouts are paid by the hiring school.
Yeah.
What does it say? I mean, about the hunger for Kendall Briles that schools like Tennessee and Florida State reportedly are willing to write a $1 million check to have him run their offense.
How about the fact that 3 years ago he was probably poison? He was probably toxic coming off of the Baylor stuff.
I'm glad you mentioned that because I don't think every lawsuit has been settled. He was named in a number of Title IX lawsuits as being a member of a coaching staff that committed some wrongdoing.
Have you read any reports about people picketing outside the Tennessee facilities about them interviewing Kendall Briles the way they were hiring Greg Schiano? Remember that was the shield they were hiding behind. Was he was part
Penn
of
State.
The Sandusky stuff at Penn State?
Yeah.
When in fact they didn't want Greg Schiano because they thought he was a terrible coach.
That's a great point.
Right? Is there any picketing going on? I got to Google Tennessee volunteer picketing Kendall Briles and see if any of that's going on.
Interesting.
SEC fan bases are the best, man.
Look, when Major brought them on board,
sanctimonious as they come,
there was a little friction. Not friction's the wrong word. A little blowback when Major did bring them on board.
Yeah.
Some people were writing and
then
saying
they averaged 46 points a game.
Exactly. And then De'Aaron King accounted for 50 touchdowns.
Exactly.
46 a game, by the way. Fourth highest scoring team in the country.
Right behind the teams that are playing in the college football playoff.
Right. And an average of over 528 yards of offense a game.
Yep.